Hey, it's Brother One.
And Brother Two.
From Two Brothers Mattress.
Don't miss our huge Memorial Day sale.
Going on now on all Serta mattresses.
Save up to $500 on Serta mattresses.
Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
Imagine Dragons. Loom. World Tour. Live in Salt Lake City. Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater. Friday, October 11th. The brand new album, Loom, is available everywhere June 28th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. For more, visit ImagineDragonsMusic.com.
Doug's Bucket List Broadcast.
You think 45 years went by fast? We can do this.
Today, Doug is live from the Salt Lake City Tabernacle. It's a Doug Wright Show Bucket List Broadcast on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
If somebody had told me, we were just talking about this, Scott. If somebody would have told me back in the old KCPX days or the KRSP days or even before that, that someday I'd be doing a broadcast right here where the pulpit would have been, where speakers from around the world, presidents, prophets, notables from around the world, that I would be doing a broadcast from this site, I would have just laughed like, yeah, that'll ever happen. But here we are. Let me introduce you to our guests. We have R. Scott Lloyd and also Jerry Avant, who have written about the choir in various capacities now for many, many, many years. Church News, Deseret News. And what a pleasure it is to have both of you here to share some of those memories, because the Mormon Tabernacle on Temple Square and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, especially outside of you, they're just synonymous. They are just hand in glove. And maybe you could just tell us, when did you first start? Jerry, let's chat with you first. Jerry, when did you start covering the choir?
My first tour with the choir was in 1991, when they went on the tour to Eastern Europe. That's when they went to Russia and Poland and Hungary and Vienna, just a lot of countries of Eastern Europe. And most of those countries the choir had never been in before.
Right.
So I've been covering the choir since 1991 until, I think, 2015, when Scott took over.
Right. Scott, let's talk about your experiences when you started covering the choir. What was your kind of first notable experience?
I have to credit Jerry. She was kind enough to give me the opportunity. She was my editor at the Church News for the most of the latter part of my time there. I just retired about 3 weeks ago. And she gave me the opportunity to cover the choir. So I was with the choir in 2015 for their East Coast tour, and then again 2 years ago when they toured some of the countries of Central Europe,
right?
Germany and Switzerland and Belgium and the Netherlands and so forth.
Boy, what, taking that act on the road, oh my goodness. Again, it's like the organ. You know, what you see up here is magnificent, and it's beautiful, and it's overwhelming, and it's amazing, and you look at the console. But then when you look at the innards of that organ and what it takes and what it really is and how gigantic and complex. And it's the same thing with the Tabernacle Choir organization. I've never had the up-close experience that you have, although I have seen them out on tour. But what it takes to, first of all, have that choir function just generally here in its home base, but then to go on tour, it's like moving an army.
It is. I wrote one article and I said it's like moving a war. It's like having a ward on the move.
Yeah.
Because on a tour, in addition to the singers, 300-plus singers, you will have staff and volunteers who work with choir, and some choir family members, spouses, sometimes
right.
Parents, sometimes their children. They have to be, I think, 18 to travel with the choir. And you can imagine the logistics of arranging transportation. I've been on tours where we've had up to 13 buses.
Wow.
And some of our bus rides have been 11, 12, 13 hours a day. And the choir, when they get to their venue, they have a sound check and then maybe a couple of hours to rest. And then they have a concert, and the concert will end about 10 o'clock. By the time they get back to the hotel, it's close to midnight. And they have to get up early the next morning to have breakfast and
right.
Be on the bus by 8 o'clock and on the road again.
And to have wardrobe and everything.
Yeah.
And, oh, my. Yep. I asked Richard Elliott when we were here last week. I asked him, have you ever had kind of a harrowing experience where, you know, the show must go on but barely went on? And I can't remember where it was. I can't remember if he said it was in New York or where. And maybe it was it Woodstock? And he said it just rained.
Yes.
And the wind. And, you know, and it was funny because some of the people behind Richard were going, we were afraid he was going to be electrocuted.
Yes.
For you, what was the most, either, maybe I'll ask this both ways, the most harrowing, and the one where you're holding your breath for the choir, and the other one where it just swept you away?
I think the one that swept me away was in Rome. It was part of the tour around the Mediterranean countries, and we had arrived by boat some, I don't know how many miles from Rome, and were bused in, and we were given box lunches.
Yeah.
And it was really hot, and they announced on the buses, do not eat the lunches. You know, we're afraid you'll get food poisoning because the lunches had mayonnaise and eggs, and the choir had to spend most of the day in the concert hall rehearsing and getting ready. We had no time to go out and buy lunch. And so they went without food until the evening, and it was very hot. And the choir members were sitting on the steps of the stairwell of the concert hall just to have a place to sit down and rest, and they were just wilting. And I wondered whether they were going to be able to pull that concert off. And I was sitting in the audience, and the choir came on the stage, and they were just reinvigorated and energized, and they gave this fantastic concert.
Isn't that amazing?
And I sat there just saying, I cannot believe this. Had I not been with them and seen how tired they were, you know, it was just almost unreal.
Incredible. Scott, for you, what would be
the story? One thing that has struck me, Doug, about the choir is that their ability to connect with people wherever they are. It doesn't matter their background. They don't have to share the faith of the LDS religion. I've seen people who are critical of the church who still love the choir.
Right.
I remember on this European tour, Luke Howard, who's kind of the scholar in residence with the Tabernacle Choir. He's a professor of music at BYU, and he's a member of the choir. I remember beforehand he warned the members, don't take for granted the standing ovations that have become standard in your hometown, because these are people who are sophisticated in their musical tastes. You know, these are Europeans. They're very reserved. We got there. They were just as raucous and just as exuberant in their applause as they are here in the hometown. If I could just share a story.
Please.
We were in Berlin. The choir members and their family had toured the city that day, and they seen the Berlin Wall, or what used to be the Berlin Wall. You can still walk the path that's marked by the remnants of the wall and by pillars and so forth. And so they'd had that experience. So that evening they were performing, and one of the numbers they performed, some of the listeners might be familiar with it, is Battle of Jericho. And there's that point right at the end where they sing, and the walls came tumbling down. It's a great build-up of tension and release at the end. Just leaves the audience overwhelmed. Well, right at that point, someone in the audience yelled out, "Whoa!" And it's just the murmur went over the audience, and then the applause and so forth. And it was just a remarkable experience, kind of the defining moment for that tour. But I was talking with a member of the choir a couple of days later, a man by the name of Bob Walker. He sings in the bass section. And he said it wasn't just that he said it was the way he drug it out and the scoop that he put into the tone of voice. It was exuberant. I felt an electrical energy go through the people around me when he said that, because it was the kind of real-time feedback that told us we were on track. And it was just like that. It was palpable. And I confess I didn't make the connection right then, not till a couple of days later, what meaning this must have had for the people of Berlin. The double meaning, both with the Old Testament incident on which this African-American spiritual is based, and also the shared experience they had as a nation, seeing that hated icon of the Cold War breached and destroyed, and the freedoms that they enjoyed after that. And so it was just wonderful seeing this emotional connection between the choir and orchestra at Temple Square and their listeners based on this shared understanding.
I've only had one opportunity, other than watching things on television, of course, to be there in the room when the Tabernacle Choir performed off-site. And we were doing a broadcast. It was the dedication of the Nauvoo Temple. And we had flown back, and we were doing my show the following morning. And Dee and I arrived quite late. The flight was delayed, so we were driving almost all night. And, oh, my goodness, to look across the river and see. And it was so funny because the words were just barely out of my mouth when I said, you know, the old river pilots used to say that when they rounded a bend or they'd get to a certain point and there that this amazing edifice was there, the Nauvoo Temple. And I said, at almost any moment, we should be able to see it. And bam. And I was just struck. I'd visited the site before when the temple stone was there and the site was laid out, but to actually see it. And the next day we did our broadcast, and it was President Mac Christensen who was so kind, and I've known him for years, and he came up and he said, tonight we have a concert in Quincy, Illinois. Would you like to go? Are you kidding me? Of course. And my wife is from Missouri, so we've been up and down the river a few times. And as we drove down that evening, and they told me it was going to be in a junior high school. I thought, a junior high school?
I think Jerry and I were both there on that occasion. Yeah. Weren't you there, Jerry?
Yes.
And I didn't take offense, but I went, our choir in a junior high school, and I'm picturing Evergreen Junior High School where I went to school. Love the school, but come on, the auditorium. And we got down into Quincy, and I started chatting. We chatted with the mayor and other people who said, Architectural Digest has said this is the most incredible, diverse crossroads anywhere in North America when it comes to architectural diversity and so on. Then I found out that this junior high school is kind of like Ogden High School. This junior high school was built with incredible skill during the Great Depression, and the auditorium was really quite something. It did not have air conditioning. They had to bring that in that night. But I will never forget that performance there. It was breathtaking. And when Craig Jessup, I believe it was Craig, who asked the members of the choir who had descendants back to the era when the people of Quincy literally welcomed and saved many of the saints, and the number of people that stood up. I mean, if you had a dry eye at that time, and the way President Hinckley came out and was so cordial and even teased the audience a little bit about how they were going to get all of the funds that had been generated. And he said, normally you'd save the checks in the mail, and he reached in and opened up, and there's the check. And as a thank you, after all these generations, a thank you to the people of Quincy who opened their homes, their town, and their hearts to the saints. I will never forget that as long as I live. For you, you've tracked the choir all over the world. How does that rank?
You know, one of the things that is amazing about the Tabernacle Choir, you know, is that there's more to a Tabernacle Choir concert tour than just meets the ear.
Yeah.
You know, it's the heart and the spirit and what touches the heart and the soul. And the choir performed in Moscow at the Bolshoi Theater, and I noticed an older woman, you know, she was an usher, but she was probably in her mid to late 70s, maybe even 80, and I happened to be watching her when the choir began singing a song that had, I think, been forbidden for about 70 years. It had not been performed in public. And it was a song, the title translates something loosely to God Help Us. And when the choir began singing that, you know, she sort of straightened up and her eyes got wide. And as the song progressed, she began having tears in her eyes. And by the time the choir finished singing that song, she was openly weeping.
Yeah.
And I grabbed a missionary and asked, will you translate for me, you know, ask her, tell her story. And she said that she remembered that song from when she was a little girl, that it was not allowed in public, but people would sing it in their homes. And she remembered her grandmother singing that song to her. And she said, this is the first time I've heard that song in public, you know, since I was a child. And what this means to me, she said, you know, the choir has brought hope and renewal And I was thinking, here in Moscow, you know. Yeah.
Can you imagine the effect that that would have?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Scott, maybe a final thought from you as well, as you look at this amazing choir, and you two have had opportunities that, you know, some of us could only dream of. Talk about up close and personal for you.
Well, there's an article of faith in the Mormon religion. You're probably familiar with it, Doug. It is taken from the writings of Paul. It states, if there is anything virtuous, lovely, or of good report, or praiseworthy, we seek after these things. I think that the Tabernacle Choir and its sister organization, the orchestra at Temple Square, embody that sentiment, that doctrine, if you will. And the choir are ambassadors of goodwill for the church. They're set apart to that purpose. The choir president actually lays his hands on their head and sets them apart as missionaries, musical missionaries, and they fulfill that purpose very well in creating goodwill, not just for the choir organization itself, but for the sponsoring organization, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I've seen that over and over again. I love the choir. I have since I was a little kid. I never get tired of hearing the signature song, Battle Hymn of the Republic, which right. I think was in the top 10 charts, maybe not long before you were playing rock and roll,
right.
Doug.
Right.
And it has been their signature tune ever since then. And I continue to get goosebumps whenever I hear it, either live or recorded.
What an amazing opportunity for all of us, hopefully for our listeners as well, but certainly for me, to tap into your expertise and your experiences. And I can't thank you enough for joining us on this bucket list broadcast for me. I've heard the word retirement going around here a little bit, and somehow that's resonating a little differently for me lately, and semi-retirement for me. But
I'm going to miss you. I'm glad it's not full-board retirement. You'll still be around a bit.
You know, you mentioned the old rock and roll days, and it was funny. I asked Richard Elliott a little bit, you know, about the organ and maybe some of the things that have been played on it. And he said, you know, I used to play in a rock and roll band. And I said, okay, I'll ask you straight up. Has the strains of you can't always get what you want ever emanated from the – and he goes, no, but Smoke on the Water has. I just laughed out loud. I thought that was great. Jerry, thank you so much.
Thank
for spending
you.
Your time with us. Scott, thank you.
Thank you, Doug. It's been fun.
If I could just add one thing, and I think it sums up my sentiment. When the choir was in Israel, Mayor Teddy Kolick said that there is no other choir that compares with the Tabernacle Choir. And I think, you know, I can borrow his words, and that is my sentiment.
If you were to name choirs that are internationally acclaimed, I've heard that it always ends up being two, Vienna Boys Choir and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And when Ronald Reagan called it America's Choir, boy, and I think it even goes beyond that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For
Thank
being
you.
Our
guest
here at KSL News Radio. Let's do take a break here at the bottom of the hour, and we will come right back. And we're taking a little early break for our newscast here because momentarily Mac Wilberg will be joining us, along with President Ron Jarrett, along with Assistant to the President Ron Gunnell. And we are going to talk about the Pioneer Day's concert coming up. And we are also, as has been a tradition on this show for the Christmas concert and for the Pioneer Day's concert, we're going to announce who the special guest artists will be. That's all coming up here at KSL News Radio.